I spent 25 years in the United States Army. Some of that was painful, but most of that was great. And several years in the Christian education ministry here in the state of West Virginia. And I used to drive up and down the interstate out here and look at signs that said Appalachian Bible College, but I had never been there. And I want to tell you something, that for years I missed one of the great jewels of West Virginia that God's put here. Your president has become a wonderful, dear, and close friend, somebody that I pray for every day. And I hope you pray for him. And may I tell you that as tough as he looks and sounds sometimes, he loves you. He loves you greatly. And he's here for you. My entire message today is about a great purpose that I think God has for us. We need to be looking forward to what is coming down the road. We need to be looking upward for who may come today. It's a wonderful thing when you get up in the morning to go outside and look up at the sky and say, "Even so, come Lord Jesus, come today. Come and take us out of here." Because he's going to do that really soon. It's going to be a really exciting time in our life. And as we look at this world around us today, what do we see? What do we see? I heard a wonderful message from an evangelist last night. Dr. Tom Alvis from over in Virginia was talking about the Chinese nation. A lot of people are talking about China today, aren't they? But listen, there are millions and millions and millions of people over there, like there are here in America. And the underground Christian church in China, about 50 million, not too long ago, has grown through all of the trauma, all of the tribulation, all of the death and destruction that their government's bringing upon them, from 50 million to about 130 million today. God is going to take us through whatever it is that we're going through. It can be tough today, but listen, it's been tough before. God knows it all, and he is here for you and for me. America was built upon faith in God. Faith in God. It was founded and built upon that faith. People came here looking for a place where they could worship God in spirit and in truth and in freedom. Our founding fathers, many of them have been besmirched about being non-religious. They've been lied about. The truth is, when we study history, truthfully study history, we find that they were men of God who believed in God. The one who seems to get the roughest rap sometimes is Thomas Jefferson. May I read just a quick quote to you, and then I'll get right into my message. Thomas Jefferson said, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed," he said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." I'm going to speak to you today about justice, about judgment, judgments that are coming. Hebrews 9:27, our reflective verse this morning, "As appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every human, dead or alive, will be judged by God." There are two distinct judgment events that are revealed in Scripture. You and I will be at one of them. Everyone will be at one or the other. No one will avoid being judged by the Lord. No one. So as you looked at these people who call themselves atheists, who call themselves agnostics, who are besmirching God's name at every opportunity, who look at you and make fun of you and decry your belief. Let today's message well up in your heart enough that God wants you, may want you, to be the very one who gives the words of kind truth to them that will cause their heart to respond to the Holy Spirit of God working inside of them. A day of judgment is coming for all believers. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. But today we're looking at a coming event in the future called the Great White Throne Judgment, where all those who did not receive salvation in Jesus Christ are going to be judged, will be judged. It takes place 1,007 years after the Lord returns in the clouds to take us up to be with Him. First, Jesus calls believers out. It's called the rapture. Then there are 7 years of the tribulation, concluding in the Battle of Armageddon. Then Jesus rules over the earth for 1,000 years. Satan is going to be bound during this time. At the end of the 1,000 years, the devil gets one last run at deceiving people. Then once and for all, God settles the matter of sin forever. He does so at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet already are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan is cast into the lake of fire, but that does not yet settle the matter of sin completely. The author of all sin, the devil, is judged, but practitioners of sin also will be judged. Human beings, practitioners of sin, are going to be judged. Everyone will receive judgment. We who are Christians will be judged for our works. But our sin has also been judged in the body and life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to die for you and me that we might have everlasting life. The author of all sin, the devil's judged, but humans are going to be judged also. In Revelation 20, it continues, "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in to the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's no more sobering scene in Scripture than the final judgment of sinners standing before the Almighty Holiness Himself, God. We want to consider 5 sobering realities quickly. But first of all, we see the identity of the judge in Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Isn't it something? How many thoughts that we can hide from others today. You know that? You ever thought about that? There's a lot of things we think we get away with, right? But according to this, God says there's a set of books. And everything, all the things that we do, are being recorded. You know, we have this great mind. Mind is one of the greatest things that God ever created. How much can you store there? Now, there is a computer that can keep up with your wonderful mind that God gave you. The somber irony in this scene is agonizing. Everyone present will know what is tragically obvious. The one who will pronounce sentence is the same one who sacrificed himself so that these sinners who are standing before the great white throne judgment could have been pardoned from even appearing at this moment of final condemnation. There's great tragedy here. The great white throne judgment has the judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sitting there. God is three in one, and here is God the Son on the throne, Jesus Christ. John 5:22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment unto the Son." 2 Timothy 4:1 says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." Jesus, who offered time and again to be your Savior, if you are lost, now sits as your judge. You may stubbornly refuse to confess Jesus for the rest of your earthly life. But when this day comes, when you stand before Jesus as your judge, you will confess Him. We can imagine with tears and wails, you will confess that Jesus is Lord. Remember, I asked you to think about this from the standpoint that you aren't saved. What if you weren't saved? This is the future you would be looking at. It helps us remember how urgent it is for us to tell others about Christ. You may stubbornly refuse to confess Jesus for the rest of your life, but when this day comes, you will confess Him. We can imagine what tears and wails that will sound at that time. Philippians 2:10 says, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Secondly, we see the scope of the event. We looked at the identity of the judge first. Secondly, we see the scope. "And I saw the dead, small and great," verse 12 and 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." Everyone will be judged by God. Hebrews 9:27 again says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Romans 14:11-12 says, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You know, all those little things we think we get away with. I include myself in that. All those things, all those thoughts, all those activities that we've done, they're all recorded. The Bible teaches us that there are two different kinds of judgment. Daniel 12:2 says, "Then that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." John 5:28-29 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Those who have trusted Christ are the saved, and they will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Saved people will be judged according to the good works they have done for Christ. They will be rewarded for faithful obedience. Those who have rejected Christ, the lost, will stand at the great white throne judgment. There is no escaping the judgment of the Almighty God. Third, the absence of an advocate. For those of us in Christ, we have an advocate. a friend who comes alongside to defend us. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." How blessed we are as Christians. For the lost one, at the great white throne, you will stand before holy God alone. A sinner with no one to plead your case. Think about that. The only witness, the only evidence will be the books. Verse 12 says, "I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." To the sinner, the lost one, your life of sin and selfishness, your small sin, your big sin, your foolish thoughts, your cursing, your lust, your lying, your hate, your covetousness, on and on, it is all exposed. There is none righteous. The books will reveal your guilt of the most critical sin, most grievous offense. The worst sin anyone will be judged for is what? Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejecting your opportunity to be saved. John 3:18 said, "He that believeth on Him, the Son, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Listen, at the great white throne, it is not to determine if you're going to heaven or hell. If you are at this judgment, you will go to hell. The only witnesses, the only evidence, the books, and then the book. Verse 12 says, "Another book was opened, which is the book of life." Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jesus the judge will ask for one final check, one final verification, one final condemnation. He will ask the question, does his name or her name appear in the book of life? The finality of the verdict is this, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. There's no appeal. The verdict is absolute. It is final. In our Western judicial system, we have the opportunity to appeal things. At this judgment, there is no appeal. Absolute, infallible, transparent truth has been revealed at this judgment. And the person who stands in judgment at the great white throne judgment is guilty. Lastly, we see the severity of the sentence. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, God did not create the lake of fire for you and for me. Why did He create that? For the devil, for Satan and his angels. A place of punishment, everlasting punishment for them. Notice what we are separated, what the lost are separated from. When He says, "Depart from me," it is eternal separation from God. What you're condemned to, it's everlasting eternal fire. The lake of fire is prepared for just Satan and his demons. How awful a place that God has created for them. This is what you choose by rejecting salvation in your life. That's why you should have great sorrow and great empathy for those who refuse to listen to the gospel. "He that despised Moses' law," Hebrews says, "died without mercy under two or three witnesses." And quickly now, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. No one alive today has to go to hell. Listen, no one alive today has to go to hell. But everyone who dies without Jesus Christ will go to hell. I hope that's why you're here today, college student, faculty, staff, all of us, myself included. I hope that's why we're here today, so that we can be prepared to take on this yoke of Christ, and we can go out and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation that will save everyone who believes and receives Him as their Savior, will save them from this great white throne judgment. Do you have somebody lost in your life? Do you have a family member, a friend, someone who hasn't yet trusted Jesus as their personal Savior? Would you take the time? Would you take a moment? Would you share Jesus with them? Show them the Word of God so that God's Word can convict their heart along with the work of His Spirit. I am praying for you every day. I want you to know that you've been greatly blessed to be able to come to a place like Appalachian Bible College. I say that humbly because God is using this place to prepare servants to go out under the yoke that He has prepared. And Jesus said what about His yoke? My yoke is easy. My burden is light because He's the one that will carry you. God bless you as you go out to serve Him. Let's close with a brief word of prayer. Lord, I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today, maybe there is, that hasn't yet fully committed themselves to trusting You as their Savior, that, Lord, You do a mighty saving work in their heart today. And, Lord, I pray that Your mighty presence and preparation is going forward in the hearts of these wonderful young men and women who have chosen to come here to be prepared to go out and serve You, to take on the yoke that You have given us. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love for us, for Dr. and Mrs. Anderson, and for all the faculty and staff here, that, God, You would help them and bless them as they do Your work. In Jesus' name, amen.